Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Michael Bell, who is the author of The Invisible Crime, Illegal Microchip Implants and Microwave Technology and Their Use Against Humanity. There are a large number of patients that have these problems. These individuals report to doctors that they have a voice to skull, they're hearing voices, they're having strange symptoms, simulated heart attacks and other attacks on their body. And a lot of times they get put in mental institutions when they have no evidence of psychiatric disease. So this show is to educate the public and other healthcare providers about the invisible crime, the illegal microchip and gang stalking that many people who get crosswise with some industry sometimes they're whistleblowers, sometimes they're just used in experimentation for these technologies. And Michael has a long history that he wants to share with you. Thanks, Michael, for joining us today.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you want to tell the listening audience a little bit about your background and how you came to be a victim of electronic torture?
Certainly. I was born in Connecticut, and I grew up on the East Coast. I've been a writer my entire life. I moved to Hollywood, California, to become a screenwriter. I was an aspiring screenwriter, and also I was working on motion pictures, doing motion picture catering, working on TV series and commercials in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I was just beginning to get meetings with the top literary agencies in Hollywood, and some of the big studios were beginning to take interest in some of my spec scripts and some of my work when I became a victim of this terrible crime. And it really stopped my life in its tracks, and it really turned it upside down and inside out. One night I went to sleep in my apartment in Hollywood, and I was drugged and abducted from my apartment, and I remember bits and pieces of the abduction. I remember some of the perpetrators wearing frightening masks and surgeons standing over me with surgical masks. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up what I thought was the next morning, but it was really a week later, and
wow.
My body was riddled with these tiny corresponding and symmetrical surgical incision scars. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out what had happened to me. So I consulted with private investigators, and I was also lucky enough to meet an ex-CIA agent. And these people informed me that from my story and what had happened to me, that it was quite possible that I had become what's known as a targeted individual, and that it was also possible that I may have been implanted with advanced nanotechnology biomedical devices, which are non-therapeutic, non-consensual. So, mm-hmm. And people wouldn't believe my story. When I went to the emergency room initially, I was wrongfully, illegally detained at the psychiatric center for mm-hmm. for telling the truth, for telling exactly
right.
what had happened to me. And so I, that happened three times within a 6-month time period. And during those times that I was in these mental evaluation wards in different hospitals in Southern California, additional surgeries were performed on me.
Right.
And
that's
so,
the problem of going to a medical institution. They can actually pay people off to do that. And also dentist. It's very common to have things injected along your jaw when you go to the dentist.
That's correct. People wouldn't believe what had happened to me. So it puts the target, the victim, in a horrible circumstance where people, because it's such an unusual crime, and it's really unlike any other crime anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a category all by itself and can't be compared to anything else. And people that haven't been touched by it simply refuse to believe it and can't believe it.
You know, one thing that's interesting, Michael, we don't hear very much about the mafia anymore. I'm 62 years old, so, you know, in the past, the mafia was always on the news because they'd have these open wars, you know, where they'd break in and everybody would get killed in the restaurant, you know, that was at a table, you know, the Gambino wars and everything. But, you know, you don't hear very much about the mafia, but I've been hearing a lot about the mafia involved with gang stalking. So I don't think they're gone. I think they've just changed the way they make their living.
I believe you're right. I believe that this crime is a collusion between several different formats. It's part of the shadow government, military black ops, and multinational corporations, and the global criminal syndicate.
Yeah, the only group of people that actually have a reason, you know, it's not a good reason, but a reason to be targeted would be the whistleblowers for major corporations.
Right.
But evidently, you can hire, if you're a major corporation or even a hospital, you can hire people to gang stalk your potential whistleblowers to shut them up. You can hire people to break into their houses and rape them, and you can hire them to do all sorts of things. Now, not all of these individuals are chipped. Sometimes they're just gang stalked. But I find it amazing that the public doesn't know that this is done to whistleblowers. So if you're a whistleblower in a major corporation and anything is occurring, because we can talk a little bit about gang stalking, you're an expert on that, and I'm really pleased to see in your book you've got some great ways to make it more difficult for the people to gang stalk you. But most people have never heard of this, and I read several books. I read some other books on this, and I know, and I've met people who are gang stalked, so I know that they were whistleblowers, and it shut them up. I mean, it's a very effective way to shut up whistleblowers. But the interesting thing is that they're the only group here that really has a reason for this to happen. Like, your story is typical. You had no connection to the government. You had no connection to the mafia. You know, you were just targeted.
Right. Randomly. I believe it was for purposes for human experimentation.
Yeah, I think that that's true, too. Now, sometimes there is a connection to the mafia or the government. We see this crime in people with, you know, whose mother might have worked at the Pentagon or whose uncle was in the mafia, that kind of thing. So sometimes there is a family connection. But a lot of people have no connection whatsoever, except they run across the wrong person. Like one patient has said her landlord was the person that she believed was involved with this. You know, you said that you met. Tell your story about the person you think introduced this.
Well, in the book I felt that it was one of my neighbors that perhaps had exposed me to an Asian part of the Yakuza gang, which is probably one of the most notorious and largest, most powerful gangs in the world emanates out of Japan. So I feel that, and because my neighbor, who wasn't Japanese but had a Japanese girlfriend, and all of his friends were Japanese, and the people that targeted me when I was drugged and abducted repeatedly, as I describe in the book, and all of the people, even though they were wearing masks at different times of different types of masks, even carnival masks that only cover up part of your eyes and part of your nose, I could still make out that the people, all of this group, these people that were involved, the perpetrators that were behind this, that were doing this to me, were Asian. So I believe it may have been one of my neighbors, but there's so many possibilities because nobody has come forward to claim responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, most targeted individuals, if they're just chosen at random or the reasons aren't made clear to them, mm-hmm. it remains an unanswered question and really just right. a puzzle for them.
But it is true that most targeted individuals have an idea of which encounter it was, whether it was having an MRI at the hospital, whether it was, a surgical procedure, whether it was an abduction like yours started with from the home, all sorts of different scenarios. They know when it starts.
Right. Well, also, too, you know for sure, by the time you know that something is, as one of my chapters in the book is entitled, Something is Horribly, Terribly Wrong. Once mm-hmm. you know that, it's already been established. You're just aware of it at that moment when something right. so terrible has culminated to the point where you are can't help but notice that something is awful going on mm-hmm. and yet you're a victim of something, but you can't figure it out because you've never heard of anything like this. It overwhelms you and blindsides you.
Now, many of the victims have the voice-to-skull technology. Have you had that happen, or are you one of the ones that don't have voice-to-skull?
I do not have the voice-to-skull technology, the acoustic weaponry that's mm-hmm. used on nearly every other targeted individual. And since I've written the book, I've communicated with thousands of them from around the
right.
world. Since I wrote the books, and I've mm-hmm, spoken sure. to and met many, and nearly all of them get the V2K or voice-to-skull technology. I do not get that specific form, though. I get mm-hmm. something called another proven-to-exist and work technology known as subliminal silent sound presentation, but that is not silent for me. What I hear 24 mm-hmm. hours a day, 7 days a week, is a very loud kind of electronic humming sound,
mm-hmm.
And it changes in volume and in pitch, and sometimes when I'm sleeping, there'll be tone bursts, which wake me up,
mm-hmm.
and that's another one of the terrible things about being a victim of this crime is the severe sleep deprivation.
Yeah, that's a big problem. And the voice-to-skull is very interesting because evidently the technology can actually read the patient's mind. So
that's
your
right.
thoughts aren't private either. So what if you think something, and they can dredge up memories and do all sorts of stuff, and they can affect the dreams too. So a lot of the victims have dream insertions that are quite disturbing. And, of course, that disturbs sleep as well. But the technology is really incredible. Where do you think the technology comes from?
Well, it's a great question. I can tell you exactly where a similar, if not nearly identical, technology. If you look at, here's an example. Just this past October 13th, 2016, maybe
mm-hmm.
you saw this in the news, a paralyzed man shared a handshake with President Barack Obama using a mind-controlled robotic arm in a first for medical
mm-hmm.
research and helping to restore
right.
the man's sense of touch. And that was accomplished by tiny microchips that were implanted in the man's
mm-hmm.
brain that let him use his thoughts to shake
right.
the president's
to
hand.
To shake the hand, right. Yeah.
And also, at the same time, he was able to feel the president's grasp and pressure and the warmth
mm-hmm.
of the president's hand in his own hand as the artificial one was being touched in real time. So there's an example of this
yeah.
exact same mind-to-machine bidirectional interface technology with a demonstration, the first time it's ever been demonstrated to the public and revealed to the world back in October. But you have to imagine, when was that actually created and perfected?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps 20, perhaps 50 years ago when that was
yeah.
first. So, and then also,
mm-hmm.
how did they accomplish such, where did they do the testing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who were the volunteers for such an elaborate experiment? Most
mm-hmm.
people would not volunteer to have microchips put into
no.
their brains, but that's where targeted individuals come in. So I believe that this technology has been being, and you look back, I mean, the U.S. government has a long history of performing medical experiments on its own citizens. You look at Project MKUltra.
MKUltra, right. And
that was 50 years ago.
Right, and MKUltra has the same programs in the chip thing. There
That's
are
correct.
Chip assassins, and there are chip sex slaves. So
That's
I think
right.
it's just an extension of MKUltra. But
the
interesting
right.
thing is that they targeted individuals have poor speech, forced gait. You know, it's almost like almost anything, forced orgasms, almost anything that the body does, these chips can simulate. Forced heart attacks. You know, they believe they're having a heart attack when they're not, but it feels like they are. So all of these things, but I'm going to go a step further, Michael. I believe, I know a great deal about the secret space program, which we've had since Eisenhower. And, you know, the disclosure is coming soon, but in the secret space program, the cabal and the Department of Defense have been working hand in hand. And I believe that a lot of this technology comes from extraterrestrials. I mean, I think that it came there first, and I think we're learning how to use it. Because these chips are so tiny. Some of them are nanoparticles, like you said. Some are little tiny antenna. Some are a quarter of a millimeter big. How can something that small with, I mean, maybe lately we can do it, but this was being done years ago. I think that it isn't necessarily coming from this planet.
That's possible. That is possible. If you looked at my book or read my book, you'll see that I had to travel around the world collecting medical evidence in MRIs, ultrasounds,
right.
X-rays, all showing foreign objects directly beneath these tiny covert surgical incision scars that I have, and some of them, some of the pictures that I've included in the book, actually look like tiny antenna. And,
right.
Those are in the book.
They inject them, or have you drink a liquid with them in, or inject
That's
them
right.
during an MRI? I mean, they don't. I don't think they're making incisions much anymore. I think you're old technology. I really do.
Yeah.
I think they just inject them now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And also, where I'm, as I've written in the book, I have been fully implanted from head to toe. I have these tiny scars throughout my body, and every place
right.
that I've had imaged shows these foreign objects show up. But
uh-huh.
now, and also, I probably represent an older form of the technology, whereas the newer technologies
right.
are not only smaller, but they are
mm-hmm.
made out of conductive polymers and resins, which are invisible to most.
Right, you can't see them on MRI. Maybe
imaging.
On ultrasound if there's enough scar tissue around them,
but
not MRI or CAT scan, definitely.
That's
and
right.
you know, you're absolutely right that it's that you were the older experiment. So where do you think this stuff is going? Where do you think do you think that there's an experimental phase that's going on that then maybe will be spread wider in the population?
Well, I believe. I mean, if you look at the big picture and what
mm-hmm.
it takes to accomplish something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been estimated that trillions of dollars have been poured into this, what's known as an unacknowledged special access program.
Right.
Really, what we're looking at is really, quite simply, the most sophisticated weapon system that mankind has ever created, and it involves every aspect of science, neuroscience, medicine, psychology, physics, mathematics, and all
mm-hmm.
war tactics, techniques, and methods. Basically, the sum of all human knowledge is
mm-hmm.
what this weapon system has created.
It just makes you wonder
what the
end game is to me.
Well,
the
end game here is believed, and I believe, and my research has indicated, and widely believed by people that know a lot more than I do, that this is really a crime that is being scaled to the entire human population, and it will end.
It could be introduced into the food supply easily.
Well, yes, but the end result here is what the goal, the long term goal, is human enslavement and depopulation of the globe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's really hard for people to wrap their mind around that. You know, it is, but I don't think they realize that the majority of the cabal, anyway, maybe not the mafia, but the majority of the cabal that are involved in this are Satanists. And they have no trouble saying they're Satanists. I mean, they're proud of it. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to me that there is such a evil presence behind this, at least the government part of it. I mean, I can understand industry spending money to chip their whistleblowers in order to keep them silent. That's just, you know, bad ethics in business. But there are 104 universities that are signed up to study these. That's interesting. And sometimes when you go to these universities, you can become chipped during a surgical procedure. Isn't that interesting?
Right. Without your knowledge, permission, or
without
consent.
Without your knowledge,
Just chipped. Just thrown into it without any accountability.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And also, when you mentioned the satanic aspect of this crime, the crime has so many different aspects, but I do believe at the very top, the data is being collected by multinational corporations and perhaps military black ops, but also in the down when it comes down to the community intimidation and the organized stalking, you are also looking at forms of sadistic gratification and ritualistic torture being done by these groups.
And that's where the mafia comes in. You know, that's where the criminal element comes in. And it's not, I mean, the mafia, obviously, you think Italian, but I think you're right about this Oriental group, because some of the targeted individuals do have a handler that they know is Oriental. It's not uncommon at all. So this particular organization is probably heavily involved, mainly because they can make a lot of money out of it, I would think. And they enjoy the torture and being the sadistic pleasure.
That's the thing. I come face to face with, and it's really, when you look at it, it's strangers that are terrorizing and stalking people that are complete strangers to them, and they're being being told lies about in the community. There are lies being told about me in every community that I go to, causing the merchants to shun me and to perform acts of harassment against me. And the people that are involved, because they're all criminals, no matter how small their participation, they are all criminals by definition, by participating in this crime. And every single being in the universe knows the difference between right and wrong. So these people that I run into in stores or on the airplane or in hotels, wherever I go, really seem to get a tremendous thrill, and they really enjoy it. For them, it's a kind of a game that they're being paid to take out, and they're also promised impunity, that they will never be held accountable for any of their participation.
I have a prediction to make, Michael. I think that 2007 may be a very bad year for them, if that helps.
2007.
No, 2017 may be a very bad year for these individuals.
2017, I'm every year I'm hoping that this will be the breakthrough year.
It will be. It will be. Look, look at who's president now, okay? That's one factor that is important. The other thing is that your book and other people's books are getting this out there into the public. so that it can be recognized, and that's important. And there's an energy coming in that is not, it's an energy coming in this year that is going to be very detrimental for people who are essentially evil. So, I mean, I've talked about this on many occasions on this radio show with many of the experts on ascension. And essentially, ascension is being pushed by an energy coming in from the galactic center that's causing a lot of the global warming. The actual global warming that's caused by humans is probably around 10 or 20%, probably 10%. So this energy is affecting everything. And it's going to affect the people who are not right in their ethics, okay? So just know that. They're likely to have a very bad year this year. And they actually know that. Some of the people know that this is not going to be a real good year for them. Other people have no clue. So,
well, it's interesting because when you look at the numbers, you know, there's approximately 7.5 billion people in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's estimated that 1% of that number has been targeted. So if you're looking at a whole globe, that 1% of 7.5 billion is 75 million people. That's an enormous amount
of people. That's an enormous number. That's right.
Seven times the population of New York City alone. So that's
right.
A huge portion. And also, there are people that are part... It's what's known as an unacknowledged special access program beyond top secret, above the most deepest classified of military secrets is what this crime and the classified technologies that drive it.
So the
number of people, that's the people that are aware of the crime that's happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that since I've written the book and since I became aware of this crime in 2008, in the last 9 years, I have every single person that I come across that ask me about what I do and what I write about, and I'll tell them,
mm-hmm.
and I say, and I blow their minds. Mm-hmm. By examining their hands and behind their ears and showing them scars that they were completely unaware of. And in my book, I challenge the reader to examine the areas that I talk of specifically and how to find these scars on your body. It's very easy to do, but most
right.
people don't know that they've already been implanted. And and every single person, without exception, I've been able to find some version of these scars on every single person, whether they knew about this crime or whether they didn't. And most of the people that I come in contact know nothing about the crime, yet I blow their minds by showing them the scars. So the people, I challenge the people, that the listeners today that are in question of whether this is a real thing or whether it's really happening, read my book, examine your body, and when you find, I can project that at least a third to a half of the people listening to this show today that were unaware of this crime previously, when they examine their body and find the scars that I'm predicting they're going to find, I tell you exactly in the book where to look for them, it will not only frighten them, but it should make them angry that this has happened to them at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about what the chips do. I'm aware that they can be GPS locators, and that may be what, you know, you can have a GPS locator and you never know it's there because it's not producing any symptoms.
Right.
They can be radar detectors. They can raise your blood pressure. They can simulate orgasms or cause orgasms in men and women. They can simulate heart attacks. They can do voice to skull. They can insert dreams. They can read your thoughts. What else? What else have you found?
Well, these micro devices are sophisticated classified technologies that allow the criminals to view, track, monitor, harass, and torture the victim remotely from a great distance in real time.
Using satellites, by the way.
Correct. Using
they use satellite. They do it via satellites. So obviously, whoever has access to the satellites is involved, which implements the governments. Obviously, yeah.
Well, the governments are complicit, but not necessarily in control. The governments do abuse citizens. Only now, the work has been contracted out.
Right. I think that's true. I think that's true, although I think there's still people in the Department of Defense.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I mean, they haven't wiped their hands clean of it yet. They're just
there's probably corporations that do this, you know, do the programs. I mean, I think probably they're contracted out for the most part now.
Well, the multinational corporations are involved on a global scale in the design, manufacture, deployment, and use of sophisticated electronic weapon systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can do things like from the satellites, they can project energy that will make one extremely anxious and fear-based, which is actually very neat if you want to do that on the battlefield, because the soldiers will just run away because they don't want to fight. There's all sorts of stuff that they have out there. It's really hilarious. I mean, it's not hilarious. It's amazing to me. And that can be done from a satellite. I was military. I was 13 years in the Air Force, so I have a lot of inside information coming out of the military that other people don't have access to.
Right. Certainly from my research and what I've been told by people that know much more than I do, including I mentioned in my book that I was fortunate enough to meet and befriend a former CIA agent that not only confirmed everything in my book to be true, but also told me that in all that my book exposes, it barely scratches the surface of what's really going on. It's only really the tip.
That's true.
The iceberg.
The assassin program. I have a friend who was a CIA agent too, and he told me a lot about this. This assassin program has a chip in the assassin that will kill them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
now, not everybody. I mean, not the super soldier. The super soldier doesn't have that, I don't think. I mean, at least he didn't say they did, but the assassin program does. So there's a chip that they can put in you that'll release something that'll kill you.
Well, when you were, that's true. That's right. Whether it's an instant heart attack or a releasing some kind of
a chemical,
chemical or some kind of toxin that instantly eliminates them.
Who would know? I mean, a lot of these toxins are like snake toxins and scorpion toxins, and, you know, they're very weird toxins, so nobody's going to look for them on a tox screen.
Well, that's what happened to me. I mean, one of the drugs that was used on me, which I researched and believed to be something called scopolamine, is not a drug that is it's recognized as the world's most dangerous drug. It's also known as devil's breath. And
yeah, we actually use it in surgery, though. We use it to prevent nausea. You know, that's a motion sickness patch.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
but it goes right through the skin.
That's when it's being used correctly.
Right, yeah.
But
it can cause hallucinations in high doses, for sure.
Correct.
So tell the listening audience about how you get scopolamine from, like, a doorknob. That's fascinating.
The source of the drugging most obviously would be food or drink, but you can also some of the drugs, including scopolamine, can be absorbed through the body transdermally, right through what's called painting, surface that the victim is knowingly going to, you know, the perpetrators know
touch,
that the victim's going to have to touch, whether it's the faucet of the sink or a doorknob, or even in your sheets, your linens. your clothing, a glass, anything, anything that your fingerprints are going to come in contact with. Some of these drugs are so powerful in such small, minute doses that they will be absorbed instantly through your skin, and you'll never really be able to pinpoint the source of the drugging.
Yep. That's very,
very
true.
Difficult. You can't test your entire house no matter how much money you have. No one's going to do that.
Yes, you can wear gloves.
and when they don't find it, once you insist on something like that and they don't find it, by definition, it starts to make the person look like they're delusional.
Right.
And that's another
right.
and that's another ingenious part of this crime.
That's the problem, because a lot of schizophrenics, real schizophrenics, who really are sick, think that they're being chipped by the government or aliens or, you know. I mean, they're not being chipped, but they are convinced that they are.
Well, when I was wrongfully detained at three different psychiatric units in Los Angeles, some of the people there, back then I didn't even know about this crime. I knew exactly what had happened to me only because I was fortunate enough, I have what's known as a photographic memory, and I have the ability to remember things that most people don't. So in that, under the set of circumstances, when I was taken away for a week at one point, I can vividly remember the moments between the druggings. But I didn't know, I could only piece this all together when I look back on it. But when I was actually in the psychiatric center being evaluated, there were other patients that were there when I look back on it, the exact same thing or something very similar had happened to them. And they were unaware of it just as I was. I didn't know that.
Right.
And then people wouldn't believe me when I told them the truth, what had happened to me. Most of the people that were in on it just discredited me and refused, to acknowledge what had happened to me.
Yeah, well, they're simulating these schizophrenic behaviors so that when you have them, I mean, it's not the whole thing. I mean, schizophrenics are very, very different than chipped individuals because they're not mentally ill. But I do believe that with the prolonged harassment and the hallucinations that can be induced and all of the voice-to-skull stuff, that there are many people in mental institutions right now that don't have psychiatric disease but are simply chipped.
Right, right. And it's very difficult for those people. It's a cruel and inhumane, unconscionable
crime
happened to them, and it's really it's unthinkable that anyone would harm a defenseless human being with such advanced classified technologies, leaving them in a position much like an animal in a cage, where people can just torture them, and there's nothing that creature can do to escape, and it's really at the complete mercy of the captors.
And they try to make the targeted individual think that even their family is in on it. That's an interesting thing. They really want to isolate the targeted individual from the entire social support system.
That's right. And if the families are also part of the experiment, they can be possibly being remotely induced to disbelieve the target. So you see how it's not just the targeted individuals that are being affected by this, but really the entire population to some degree. I don't know what the numbers are, but the numbers are much higher than what people believe them to be. I know that.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing to know that these can be introduced via drinking liquids.
Right.
You know, this technology has come a long way.
Or a vaccine.
Oh, yeah, vaccine. vaccines.
Another way, the most obvious way you mentioned in the beginning about the dentistry, but also, mm-hmm. too, all of these people that go in for elective surgeries, you know, women that go mm-hmm. in for these surgeries, anytime that they have to be knocked out, not even necessarily be knocked out, it can be, but
sedated,
certainly,
yeah.
when you do those elective surgeries or any surgery that you don't really have to do, or even surgeries that have to do, you're really opening yourself up to that possibility of being implanted.
Yep, because they can inject them through a needle. Just during the local, giving the local,
It's very interesting.
But still, there is hope, and let me tell you why. These technologies do not do anything on their own, okay? They have to be manipulated from the outside. Wouldn't you agree?
Right. They're driven by the people that have created them.
Right. So that signals have to be sent to activate them, to cause them to work, to whatever.
Right.
So just because people have chips in them, unless they're, the RFID chip is a different one. The RFID chip is a much larger chip. It's about the size of a grain of rice, and it's the one that's FDA approved, I think, in 2000. People put it in their animals. People put it in their children to prevent kidnappings, GPS locator. It was what our health records were going to be on. But the problem
right.
with this chip is that the literature and the veterinarian literature shows that a lot of times this technology can cause sarcoma around it, which makes sense. You know, just like cell phones have been implemented with neuroepithelial malignancies, because the mechanism is pretty simple. It prevents the free radicals from being processed in the brain. So these electromagnetic the chips, the RFID chips, can be associated with sarcoma. So
right.
that is what we know about them. So they probably should be removed, especially if they're in humans. And I'm not so sure you should have them in your pets either. I guess it's a risk versus benefit thing, but that there's probably safer GPS chips, but I'm not sure they're available, on the market, But we know there's safer GPS chips because some of the targeted individuals have them. So tiny chips, the little tiny quarter of a millimeter, little 1 centimeter, little silicone and wire and other chips probably of themselves don't do any harm if they're left in the body. So really what we need to do is work on figuring out how to eliminate the handlers, the controllers. Because once they're eliminated, then probably the chips are just little foreign bodies.
All of this technology from the manufacturer does have a kill command, but it is possible to disable them. It's just that people don't have access to the information that would turn them off, so to speak, or to disable them, and they seem resistant to any kind of magnet forces. Although it does affect them when I use a neodymium magnet.
Yeah, very strong neodymium magnets do affect them. That's true.
It does. I mean, the magnetic field is so strong on a neodymium magnet on some of the higher pull force one, like 500
right.
pounds, it's enough to disrupt the frequency
right.
between the chips and the people that are driving the technology, the criminals.
Yep.
But not enough to destroy the chip, though, sadly.
Right. No, that's very true. So what has been the response to you from you writing the book? When did you write the book, by the way?
It was published, I guess, the very end of 2012 is when it was published in hard copy.
Uh-huh.
And
I have the paperback.
Right. In 2007, between 2007 and 2012 is when I wrote the book.
Uh-huh.
And I actually...
Did you notice any change in the targeting after you wrote the
book?
Oh,
my gosh. When I did my first, I did a as soon as the book came out, what I thought was already a terribly elevated level of organized stalking and electronic harassment that I was receiving, remote torture, skyrocketed the day that I released the book. And
that's what I would have thought would have happened. They're really threatened by this.
That for me, that's confirmation that I'm doing the right thing, because
why I'm bringing it up to the listener. Why would he have an escalation? They're trying to hide this.
The people are obviously threatened by my doing interviews like this one and releasing my book. They're absolutely threatened by that, because the criminals are controlling the public, or the people that are affected by this crime, outside the grid. They're destroying people's lives, spying on the world, and robbing it of its right to privacy. And the criminals do this by hiding in the dark, and I'm here to expose them by forcing them to step into the light. Trying to expose this crime to the light of day.
You're a very brave person. I think that you were given the gifts for this. You said, you've been a writer all your life. You've always had those skills. You have the photographic memory, which allows you to maintain a lot more of the story than, say, the average person could.
Right.
And you're incredibly strong. When I read the book, I said, good Lord, this guy is really, very brave and very strong, and it was probably a real mistake for them to chip you. And I'm sure they're listening to the show, so I'm going to say that. You should have chipped somebody else. It was weaker.
But when you asked about I noticed a lot when the book first came out, but it was almost, I would say my targeting tripled. The amount of attention that was focused on me at least tripled the day that I, and the day after that I did my first coast-to-coast radio interview.
Oh, yeah, coast-to-coast. Now, that's a big show. Many, many people listen to that show. And you know what? Yeah. The listeners to that show know enough about what we're talking about that they would believe you in a minute.
Well, I got some very educated questions from some of the listeners, and most already seem to know a lot about the subject, but many of the people that are listening today are really probably only hearing about it for the first time.
That's true. This is a health show, but I think it's important for people to know as they choose, the different venues out there for their health care. Go to dentists that you know. Don't just go to a cosmetic dentist that you don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Know their ethics. Don't just choose a surgeon out of the phone book. Get some personal referrals. Because these dentists and doctors are paid anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000 to do these chipping things. They're paid a lot of money. And so unethical people are the ones that are chipping people.
Right. Well, and also you mentioned before about some of the capabilities of these classified technologies. I want to refer just to one of the quotes that I include in my book. Mm-hmm. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Arthur C. Clarke's Third Law in 1961.
Right. I want to repeat again, Michael, this came out of the secret space program.
Right.
And I know that because I know individuals who are whistleblowers for the secret space program. I've interviewed some of them on this radio show. So when they had nanobot infestations, that didn't come from any technology on Earth. That's a Draco technology. You see the picture here?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you should research it. You should research holographic medical bed. Go look it up on YouTube, and then look at the two whistleblowers, Randy Kramer, he's a sanctioned whistleblower out of the Secret Space Program. And Elena, who's actually been on this show, I think 2 weeks ago she was on the show. So go look at that, because you're going to learn a lot about this technology.
Well, yeah, it's
okay.
It's,
it didn't come just out of IBM, okay? It may be. It may be incorporated in these multinational corporations then, but it wasn't. I don't think it was discovered by them. I mean, I think the RFID chip was. I mean, it's the size of a grain of rice. I mean, that's
right.
Big. So, well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. We've been interviewing Michael Bell, The Invisible Crime, Illegal Microchip Implants and Microwave Technology and Their Use Against Humanity. I'm pretty aware to the listeners that this show has been very disturbing to you. But there's a sign in the Pentagon behind the general's desk that says, what you don't know won't hurt you, it will kill you. So I think we have a responsibility, especially in today's world, to bring these crimes to the surface. Michael, would you like to give your contact information?
Yes. My book, The Invisible Crime, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but also through my website, www.invisiblecrime.com.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us. I hope we've educated the listeners, and I hope that your research in the holographic medical beds will help you educate you about where this stuff came from.
Yes, I look forward to that.
Great. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we are interviewing Angela Kaufman, Improve Your Relationships with the Power of Your Intuition. And on the 25th, we're going to be interviewing Cami Anderson on The Haunting, Asylum 49. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. See you next week.